Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Hello, hello, and welcome, everyone. My name is Dennis, and I am here with Rick, and we are just about ready to start our program, The Bible on Trial. This program is brought to you by Spirit of Truth Ministry, and we are delighted that you've taken a few minutes out of your busy schedule to join us for our program. I encourage you to go to our websites at spiritoftruthministry.net and spiritoftruthministry.net/STM. The information that you will find there will help you in your ability to process truth and to find it, and we encourage you to make use of those. We also encourage you to go back into our archives. You can download any number of 1,180 programs. We're approaching a milestone, the programs keep on going, and we are delighted to be able to do them and to be still alive here on this earth. There's lots going on, and we will talk about that some. But in the main, what we do is we try to learn what it is that Jesus needs us to learn from his words and from the words of the Father in the Old Testament. Father in heaven, Jesus, Holy Spirit, grant us a joyous time together as we learn the truth, as we implant that truth in our intellect, as your Spirit implants that truth in our intellect, and as we put it into practice. I pray that you will help us do this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning.
You know, it's nice to see you over there. Last week was a little bit of an aberration, but I'm glad everything is working out. I am glad that you are able to be here and do some explaining. I'm talking about that too, but really talking about explaining how we learn the truth.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
How many people in the world do you think, just, you know, I'm not asking for a specific number or percentage, but how many people in this world do you think really believe that there is a virus-caused pandemic wreaking havoc on personal psyches, families, communities, political persuasions, and the like?
Okay. In March... probably most. A lot. Today, I am not convinced there are nearly as many as the people who are disseminating this propaganda believe there are.
Let me rephrase that question. Listen carefully, Dennis. How many people believe there is a virus pandemic in the world right now?
I think lots of people do. But now, what I'm saying is...
I know what you're saying, but
by the way,
I'm going to get there. But this is what I'm talking about. First,
just one second. Good morning, Don.
Good morning.
Nice to see you.
First of all,
Thank you.
Is there any evidence that there has been a deadly virus causing a pandemic in the world?
There is evidence. There has been a virus that has come out of China that has gotten a lot of people sick.
And what is the evidence?
The evidence is people getting sick. You have a certain category of people that is really susceptible to this. And if allowed to, which they did in New York State, it will decimate that population. But for the most part, I'll just tell you from personal experience, I've been going through this. I've been working at the hardware store. I haven't seen one case personally. I don't know of a single person personally that has gotten this disease, and much less has died from it. Now, I'm hearing about it. I have friends who are at the hospital, and yes, they have a few cases in the hospital, but it was never overwhelming. It never overwhelmed the hospital system that we have. They never used up even the ventilators that they had before they started making ventilators furiously. You see what I'm saying? When the hospital ships came into San Pedro, they had 1,000 beds. There were 20 cases in that hospital ship.
Now, the narrative, and what is a narrative? Is a narrative the truth, or is a narrative
it's something that they want you to believe is true.
Pre-made response.
It is a pre-made response. Absolutely.
So we know that when the virus was first made known, that and here in this country, There was the first case or cases, and they were all quarantined in the hospital in Nebraska.
Of all places.
And then it was around a week later that the president stopped all flights from and to China. And the party of the opposition immediately had an opposite reaction to what the president had done, and saying he was
overreacting,
politicizing, that type of thing.
And a xenophobe.
And what is a xenophobe?
A racist.
Okay.
It's a racist in nicer terms.
Well, yeah, it's a term that a lot of people don't know, and so you can call them a xenophobe, and they won't know that you're calling them a racist. And the whole narrative of the one party, the party of the left, was this is a complete overreaction. You know, you should come and come here.
Nancy Pelosi
went to Chinatown.
Yeah, she went to Chinatown and she said, "Come on over, everything is fine. Don't worry about this." And blaming Donald Trump for starting a panic.
Yep. And then, of course, they the experts said, a mask is not effective against this virus, so wearing a mask will not do you any good and will not do anybody else any good, and wearing a mask can cause problems of itself, so you don't want to overreact. And then it seems like...
And by the way, that was from the CDC.
And the director of the NIH or whatever.
Right. But then China got its grubby hands on this whole situation. And
what I mean is they kept
pushing it. The people that they had bought off, who shall at least at this point remain nameless, but one of them works directly with Donald Trump in disseminating information about the virus. They backtracked on everything. Pretty soon it was, you had better wear a mask. Stay 6 feet away from people. Don't get sick with this because it will kill you.
And there was a lockdown that was supposed to be for 15 days to make sure that the hospitals were not inundated and overrun with all these cases that were going to happen. There was going to be death on an exponential scale. Millions were going to die around the world. And
by the way, that was according to projections from a guy in England who projected 2 million people in the United States alone. And this is the same type of prediction that is being done that says that we're all going to die from global warming. Same thing. And so that was eventually, he added one minor little thing into it, and the deaths went down to 200,000.
Now, a friend of mine that I was
one fact
talking to yesterday because I told him that the virus was not something that you needed to fear, but take precautions. And we were both wearing masks because that was required. And I told him that the masks we were all wearing would be ineffective from protecting us from a virus getting from one person into another person. Because as one physician described it, it would be like throwing sand at a chain link fence and
hoping that it kept the
thinking that the sand wouldn't go through.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another description too, was a chain link fence and an angry group of hornets, and thinking that the chain link fence would keep the hornets from attacking you. Obviously, they could easily get through those cells.
Well, and the hornets wouldn't even notice it. I mean, they fly to miss it.
Yeah.
And it's essentially the same thing with the virus. A virus is 3 microns or less.
So what does this have to do with Scripture and God and information that we're studying? Well, bottom line, does it matter whether the information that you have about some certain subject is true or does the only thing that matter is that you believe in the information that you have on a certain subject, and that gives you confidence in your performing in so your performance is consistent with the information that you have. That's all that really matters. Now, in talking about protection, which is in the case of this virus, why do you think that the social media companies would be so overtly obtrusive in making sure that they are not going to let any bit of information pass their censors that they don't agree with?
Well, I hearken back to George Orwell and the book 1984. And wow, how prescient was that? Because the people who have put this whole thing together are controlling a narrative that, while incredibly complex, is at its base very simple. We are going to force you to believe a lie as if it is the truth, and operate as if that lie is the truth in your own personal life. And if you don't do it, we will see to it that you are either punished or you are ostracized. Your ability to get on our platforms will be suspended or removed, and you will not have the opportunity to speak your mind. We are going to do away, de facto, we are going to do away with the First Amendment.
Well, that aside, here's my question. Most of our listeners, I suspect, are of the belief that there is an almighty God who is well aware of everything that is going on here on earth. Dennis.
Yes.
Your children.
Yes.
Do they believe in God?
Yes.
And,
well, okay. They operate as if they do. Okay. You know, the situation is a little more complex than that. However, I don't think Zach would be doing what he is doing if he didn't. He's a church organist for a big Episcopal church.
But wouldn't it be easier to do it in that type of atmosphere of that church? Kind of see God more as a nebulous, say, a thought?
Well, not in that church. They actually believe that God is real and operates in their lives.
A God is real.
That God, yes, but I'm saying that perspective.
Well, let me ask you this. If you went to that church and you talked about how Donald Trump had prayer before his cabinet meeting, how he had asked a group of pastors to come to Trump Tower before his inauguration and place their hands on him and pray for him. Do you think that they would let you say that in that church?
Oh, I think they would. Yeah. They're very liberal, but they're very open, and they wouldn't denigrate
me.
But
what do they say about Donald
Trump? They disagree with Donald Trump 100%. Absolutely 100%. But I don't know of a single person.
Donald Trump is praying to the same God.
Yeah.
And the pastors are praying to the same God that church purports to be praying to, yet they have serious conflicts of interest.
Correct. Absolutely.
And they would much rather see the other guy get elected in, right?
Absolutely. No question. Because Donald Trump is a mean, ill-mannered person. And
Let's just do this. What is Donald Trump's stand on right to life?
Oh, he is one. He's probably the most pro-life president.
He's the only president that marched with the right to life movement, that went to the right to life rally. I mean, what about the other guy? What's his stand on right?
Oh, it's obvious that it is well known that it is a woman's right to choose. And we should help facilitate that choice.
What is the church that you were talking about? What is their stance on right to life?
It is a woman's choice.
What do you believe God's stance on right to life is?
See, and there's the rub, isn't it? Because to God, all lives matter, even the ones that are still in the womb.
Right. Now, here's another thing. Censorship. Are you aware of any conservative censorship?
Okay, I am not aware that conservatives censor anyone. What I mean is they do not, by main force or just by edict,
they believe in the First Amendment.
Refuse to allow anybody to speak their mind.
First Amendment, right?
Correct. I mentioned that earlier, yeah.
Do liberals, who supposedly are for free speech, do liberals censor?
Yes.
All the time?
Yes.
And what do they censor? What type of material do they censor?
Conservative.
Anything that would contradict their platform. Speaking of platform, I have to say this, if I can remember it correctly. Ronald Reagan told this story, that there was a Republican running in a state, it was the district in the middle of the country, where basically there it's 98% Democrat. So he was going around knocking on doors and, you know, telling people why they should vote for him. And he went to this one house out, it was a ranch, and he talked to the rancher and told him, you know, I'm the Republican so-and-so, I'm running for such-and-such, and he says, oh, wait a minute, I've got to go get my wife, she's never seen a Republican. So he brought her out, and while he was going to get his wife, the guy was looking for some something he could stand on to do his
stump speech.
His, yeah.
He was looking for a stump.
And of course, it was a ranch, a cattle ranch, and the only thing he could find out there on the flat prairie is that, well, you know. So he stood on that.
He was out manuring in the field.
And so the rancher and his wife came out, and he gave his little spiel, and the rancher said, "That's the first time I've ever heard a Republican speak." And the Republican guy says, "This is the first time I've ever given a Republican speech on a Democrat platform."
That's right. Yeah.
Does God censor?
No. If God censored, Satan would not have made any inroads when he was talking to Eve in the garden.
So if God doesn't censor, then the people who believe in, worship, and follow God, would they censor?
No.
So you just told me that only the devil.
That's right.
Censors. Why?
Because he does not want...
What would he censor, first of all?
The
what
truth.
Would he censor?
He would censor the truth.
Why would he censor the truth?
Because anybody who knows the truth would refute him, would disabuse themselves
now,
of him.
Because the truth is a threat to exposing his lie.
Yes.
Can a lie ever expose the truth as a lie?
No.
So do you see that in order to have censorship, they do it in the name of protection, protecting someone from being deceived. Do you understand then that anyone, any group, any government that would censor information is not doing it because they are acting on God's behalf, and that they are doing it because they don't want anyone to be deceived by misinformation.
When Jesus was talking to his disciples, and this conversation is found in Matthew 24, starting with verse 1. Did Jesus tell his disciples that I won't let you be deceived.
Okay,
well, no, I'm going to switch it just a little bit. Did he say that I'm going to see to it that no one is able to produce anything
to deceive you?
That even has a chance of deceiving you? No, he never said that. Jesus knew there would be deception. So upon whom did he put the onus of understanding the truth so that you cannot be deceived by a lie? He put it on them. He said, "See to it that no one deceives you." He did not say, "I'm going to see to it that no one deceives you." He didn't say that. And so here we have the perfect example of what Jesus meant in this regard when somebody posts something on Facebook and Facebook, with their committee, decides that they don't want that being seen by the general public and they censor it.
And for what purpose? What is their ultimate purpose with it?
To control the narrative.
What is their ultimate purpose right now to do that?
Defeat Donald Trump in the election. But
You know, there was a woman I heard. I didn't listen to this because I don't normally listen to Lion Biden's little
chippy
productions that are pathetic. But one of the women expressed a concern to him that she had her Biden sign in her front yard that she would look out and watch. And she says, and over her Biden sign, she would see a sea of Trump signs.
Mm-hmm.
And she was concerned about that.
But was she afraid that her sign would be torn down and destroyed by those people who put up the Trump signs?
No, not at all.
Of course not.
But the Trump people, I mean, this is the thing. Trump supporters have been beat up. Even like just yesterday,
there was an
84-year-old woman that was slapped across the face by a Biden supporter.
And a Trump supporter was killed, was murdered by a Biden supporter.
Well, there's been more than one Trump supporter killed. Do you think that God is behind that? The killings?
No, I would
the
say...
The execution, the shootings of...
The two police officers in Los
Lee?
Angeles? Yeah, the two
Is
sheriffs.
God behind that?
Of course not.
So, but you look at the other side, and you don't see conservatives killing liberals. What would motivate this? Who works that way?
Satan.
Satan. Now, here I'm saying, who censors? Satan. Who kills? Satan. Who causes mayhem, destruction, distress, and fear? Who does that?
Satan.
Satan.
Satan does, yes.
We are in a war right now. And I've said this many times when I have been here talking to you. We are in a war. And this is not a war like what we have fought before. You know, we go to some country in like World War II and defeat the Axis powers, or World War I and defeat Germany. In fact, those wars were all manufactured wars that were meant to enrich the bankers and the elite. They really had no reasonable premise upon which something was being fought. It wasn't good versus evil. It was evil fighting against itself for the purpose of making the people of the world poorer and the elite of the world richer. Right now, we are involved in a spiritual battle, and it's God and the people who believe in, worship, follow, and serve and the evil empire with its emperor Satan and his evil insurrectionist spiritual beings. This is not a war of only flesh and blood.
I can get something for Becky.
This is a war for the fate of the world, this world. the people on this world will decide the outcome of this war. And it is completely unlike any war that has ever been fought here on this earth at any time. And the only the key element of this war is truth and lies. Informing and deceiving. This is a war being conducted much like it was when it was fought in the heavens, when Michael and his angels were at war with the dragon and his angels, and they were not strong enough. You know, that statement has a lot more to say than I think most people realize. Most people who believe in Almighty God would say, well, God will never lose a war. Well, God may never lose a war, but his created beings could lose the war. The reason that the dragon was not strong enough is that he could not convince the majority of angels to join him in his insurrection. He only managed to convince a third. And so he lost the war in the heavens. It was a war of information, truth, and lies. Spiritual beings are not flesh and blood, so they cannot be killed. They are eternal dwelling spirits. They can be completely destroyed, though, by a spiritual fire which dissolves and obliterates their spirit. A fire that burns corruption, lies, deception, and impurities. Now that war is being fought here on the earth. And it is the same basis upon which the war was fought in the heavens. The dragon believes that this world is his own. He has earned the right to rule it. But he can only rule those who have believed his lies, allowed themselves to be deceived, and who in turn are his army against those who hold to the truth. And particularly to those who are still making their own determination between what is really true and what is really a lie. There's a term that is used fairly frequently. It's called red pilling, or being red pilled, which comes from the movie The Matrix, the first one. There was a red pill and a blue pill. I do find it interesting the choice of colors of pill. And the individual involved who was going to join this team that was trying to wrest the world away from an evil spiritual cabal and wake the people of the world up to the fact that they were living in an illusion, which is what a world of lies is a world of illusion. He was shown the truth. Then he was given the opportunity to help defeat the lies. He had a choice to make. He could take the blue pill, and the truth that he saw would be wiped from his memory, and he would be able to go on living his life as he had before. Or he could take the red pill, and then he was committed. He would see the world as he had never seen it before. And he would be working to expose the frauds, the evil that had deceived the whole world. The truth is not your enemy. The truth is your savior. The truth is your God. The truth will set you free from slavery to sin. Anyone who sins is a slave of sin. These are the words of the Son of God who came here to testify to the truth. And he went on to say, anyone who sins is a slave of sin. And I say, anyone who believes a lie and lives their life according to the belief that is based in lies is a slave to sin, because sin only exists where there are lies that are believed by people and who live according to those lies. Everyone who knows the truth, loves the truth, follows the truth, worships the truth. You say, well, I worship God. I don't worship a thing. I don't worship a word. Well, the Son of God said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life.
And by the way, those are three names.
To worship the truth is to worship God. To obey the truth is to obey God. To live the truth is to live according to God's will. The opposite is submitting to Satan. God does not censor. And you talk to most Christians, at least the ones that I have talked to, most of them believe that God would never, ever allow a lie in his holy book, the Bible. Never. And they have the supreme confidence that if they want to know the truth about God, they open the Bible and it is there. And it doesn't matter what page they open the Bible to. What they read on that page is the truth. And they have that firm confidence. And if I were to suggest that that is not true, they would say, "Get behind me, Satan." Because even to suggest that you should take a look at the Bible and see if it is consistent within itself, there are no contradictions. There are no contradictions said by those whose deepest Bible study has come from going to church.
And these are the same people who believe that Jesus, that God is in control of everything that happens on earth, and that nothing happens without their permission or ascension to it. And these people believe that even the bad things that happen to them come from God. And that is a lie.
In Jeremiah 8, 8 and 9, we read this. "How dare you say, 'We are wise and we possess the law of Moses.' But look how it has been falsified by the lying pen of the scribes. The wise shall be shamed, cut out, confounded. Look how they have rejected the word of Yahweh. So, what use? What use is their wisdom to them?" Now, who is Jeremiah here speaking what God told him? Who's he talking to? Is he talking to the people? No.
No, he's not. I was looking something here. Strong's, the word lie in that is shaker, H8267, an untruth, by implication, a sham. What kind of spiritual leader leads you to a lie? A shaman.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's a shaman?
Shaman is some kind of a spiritual leader in whatever religion that they are dealing with.
Well, back when I was a kid growing up, I heard about a witch doctor.
Witch doctor?
The witch doctor.
The witch doctor. There you go.
And the key word is witch, not doctor. But I'm a nurse, and for 45 years I've been a nurse, and I've worked with a lot of doctors, and a few of them, I would say, were witch doctors. So, the experts on the law were the priestly class, or I would say caste. And they bore the responsibility of showing the people the way into the kingdom of God. And their responsibility was taken away from them, and we've read that You know, in Matthew chapter 21, we've read that.
Verse 43.
And he took that responsibility away from them because of this. Matthew chapter 23, verses 13 and 14. Alas for you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, you who shut up the kingdom of heaven in men's faces, neither going in yourself nor allowing others to go in who want to. Alas for you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, you who travel over sea and land to make a single proselyte, and when you have, you make him twice as fit for hell as you are.
Owie, I'm sorry, but that's pretty brutal. Gee.
Well, I mean, who do you think the people trusted to give them the truth from the law and show them the way into the kingdom?
They're shamans.
They're
priests.
Scribes and chief priests. The scribes were a very high class because the scribes were charged with making copies of the law. And so what the scribes would do is they would make a copy, but they might change this here, little word here, a little dot or a little stroke of a pen or something that would actually change the meaning of the word. That's why God blamed them for turning his law into a lie and then saying that their law that they had made for themselves had made them wise. And then he said, and when I take care of things, what good is your wisdom going to be for you? My friends, you cannot say that my pastor is whom I believe. My pastor is a godly man, and my pastor reads only from the scriptures. And my pastor prays wonderful prayers. And he visits me and cares about me and treats me as an equal. My pastor has to be a godly man. And that's the same attitude that was at the time when the Son of God was delivering his testimony. And why would the Son of God have to come to testify to the truth?
And by the way, this is not to say that there are no pastors who are deliberately going against the will of God.
And I'm not saying that.
No,
I'm not saying that.
And I know we're not, because there are millions of people on this earth who love God. There's, let's say, two-thirds of the people on this earth love God and will make the right decision, but they still don't know the truth. That is where we and you, dear listener, come in.
The reason the Son of God had to come to this earth was to testify to the truth.
John 18, 36 and 37.
He was also going to change the dynamic of the kingdom, which he has a right to do. He was going to change it from a people living in a promised land to a people who were willing to enter the kingdom. Because the people who were living in the land promised to their forefathers for them failed to enter the kingdom that they were called to do. And so the king came to testify to the truth, to show people what they needed to learn in order to enter the kingdom. And anyone, any person, all people, the kingdom is not shut off to anyone of any race, any color, any creed, any language, anything. You learn the testimony of the Son of God, and you keep the commandments, the testimony of the covenant of God. Those are our two witnesses as we stand in the judgment. We hold to the testimony of the Son of God, and we keep the commandments of God. That's the two witnesses that will testify on our behalf that we have a right to eternal life because we have two witnesses that stand in our behalf. We can only trust the truth, not what we think is the truth, not what our pastor tells us is the truth. The truth is the testimony of Jesus that was recorded by his two eyewitness disciples, Matthew and John.
By the way, two witnesses.
Two witnesses. And Mark is probably accurate also. I haven't seen anything wrong with Mark, but he was not an eyewitness. But he did, he was a very close confidant of the disciples afterward.
So, by the way, those two witnesses confirm each other. The words of Jesus confirms the Ten Commandments, the law. And the law confirms the words of Jesus. And how do I know this? Matthew 5:17. Do not think, this is Jesus talking, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Not to fulfill them for you, but to confirm them. That is another word for fulfill. He confirms the law and the prophets through his words.
And Matthew said in chapter 4 and chapter 9 that the Son of God went from town to town teaching and preaching and performing miracles and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom is the testimony of Jesus. The gospel of the kingdom is the testimony of Jesus. And anything else, as in John, 2 John, anything, any other teaching that is not a 100% agreement with the testimony of Jesus is a lie. And a lie will do nothing but ensure your destruction. A lie will do nothing but ensure your destruction. You need to be in the kingdom, and the only way that you are going to enter the kingdom is if you learn the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Wow. Thank you, Rick. That was, I just learned something new, or at least get something affirmed each time I listen to you and listen to this program. I encourage our listeners to do the same, to go back to our archive page, and you can download any number of 1,180 or so broadcasts. We encourage you to join us tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific time at the same location for another edition of The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. And we encourage you to go to our website at spiritoftruthministry.net and take a look around, especially look at our book, The Spirit of the Church and the Grand Plan by Rick Sterling. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis wishing you a good day. We'll see you all tomorrow.